You'll have to forgive me. I walked out of the house thinking more about my granddaughter and making sure she had the things she needed to take back home with her than I did my glasses. So I'm going to have to use a pair of dark or semi-dark bifocals here just so I can...
Use the Holy Spirit.
That's the main thing. That's the main thing.
Just going
so, yeah. That's what these are. That's what these are. But they're dark, so forgive me. I'm not trying to hide from you. Yeah. Praise the Lord. So anyway, thank you. That's very kind. Hallelujah. Father, once again, we thank you for this time. I yield myself to you, Lord. I've asked for a new thing to be done this morning. I thank you, Lord. You're in control. I don't want to be. I want these hearts touched this morning, Lord. I want there to be a new excitement, a new exuberance that overtakes your people this morning, starting right here. So, Lord, once again, we rely on you and release ourselves and turn to you. Speak to us this morning through your word, by your Spirit. Touch our hearts, change us. We cry out for this, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. Praise the Lord. I have just four scriptures this morning. I'm going to read several verses and two of them. And then we'll start in the book of Philippians. Read verses, chapter 4, it's verses 4 through 9. Focus on one particular verse. And then I have two verses in Psalms that I want to look at. Praise the Lord. Philippians chapter 4, verses 4 through 9. Does anybody besides me, when you look at scriptures, really get hungry to know what the real meaning behind those words are?
Yes.
You know? So I'm not going to go into a long dissertation. There's a lot of stuff behind some of these words, a lot of information. But I took out what I believe were the highlights of these particular scriptures. And there's only one scripture in each of these two portions of scripture in Philippians that I looked at. I'm not going to try to define or talk about them all. We'll be here forever. So we're just going to go through and read that, Philippians chapter 4, verses 4 through 9, and then we'll focus on verse 8. Praise the Lord. Stand with me as we read the word, please. Praise the Lord. Rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I will say, rejoice. Let your gentleness be known to all men. The Lord is at hand. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplications, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds through Jesus Christ. Finally, brethren, whatever things are true, whatever things are noble, whatever things are just, whatever things are pure, whatever things are lovely, whatever things are of good report, if there is any virtue, if there is anything praiseworthy, meditate on these things. These things which you learned and received and heard and saw in me, these do, and the God of peace will be with you. You may be seated. First of all, we're told here, I don't believe it's just a suggestion, I believe it's a command, rejoice in the Lord always. And he reemphasizes it by saying, rejoice, or again I say rejoice. Then in verse 5 he says, and let your gentleness be known to all men. The Lord is at hand. Be anxious for nothing. Now I didn't look up that word. Maybe some of you have an definition for it. But anxious, that's anxiety. That's care. Amen? If we're supposed to cast all our care on the Lord, then we shouldn't have any care or anxiety, should we? We should be walking in peace. Just walking in total peace. Knowing that God's with us. We've got goodness and mercy following us. Know that His love cannot be taken from us. We can't be separated from it. We can't be taken out of His hand. Amen? That's some pretty good things to think about, isn't it?
Yeah.
Hallelujah. Be anxious for nothing. And along with that, he says, but in everything. Let me read that again. But in everything. Say everything.
Everything.
By prayer and supplications with thanksgiving. Very important. Let your requests be made known to God. And when you do this, the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds through Jesus Christ. Well, let's just don't run away from that. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplications, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding. How many think they got a handle on the peace of God? Not even close. Praise the Lord. We've got an understanding, but we don't have the total understanding. And I know some of us are getting a lot closer. Praise the Lord. Did you have a comment, or are you just raising your hand? Praise the Lord. I won't fight with you, Richard. Surpasses understanding. Will what? It'll guard your hearts and what? Your minds through Jesus Christ. Now in verse 8, we read, finally, brethren, whatever things are true, whatever things are noble, whatever things are just, whatever things are pure, whatever things are lovely, and whatever things are of good report, if there's any virtue, if there's anything praiseworthy, meditate on these things. Now, there's all kinds of things we meditate on every day. Most of it's not real good stuff, or not stuff that gives any glory to God. We're in a society and in a world where we have things that we have to accomplish, and sometimes it takes our focus away. But when it comes down to the nitty-gritty, and when things arise in our lives, whether there seem to be overwhelming obstacles or just minor irritations, we need to remember this scripture. Finally, brethren, whatever things are true, whatever things are noble, whatever things are just, whatever things are pure, whatever things are lovely, whatever things are of good report, if there's any virtue, if there's anything praiseworthy, meditate on these things. First of all, the word true is simply loving the truth, speaking the truth, and being truthful. So we meditate on things because on the truth, because we love the truth, and then we speak the truth, and we think on things that are truthful. How many know who the truth, the life, and the way is? Praise the Lord. Noble, or another word, if you look at it through King James, is the word honest. That's all it is. Nobleness is honesty. Just, think on things that are just. That means righteous, things that are observing divine law. In a wide sense, upright, righteousness, virtuous, keeping the commands of God. Think on things, when you think of things that are just, we think of innocent or innocence, faultlessness, and guiltlessness. Things that are approved by God or acceptable by God. Amen? Hallelujah. Then when we think on things that are pure, we're thinking of things that are pure from carnality, fleshly, sensual, earthly, chaste, and modest. When we think on things that are pure, they're pure from every fault, or they're immaculate, or simply stated, they're clean. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Things that are lovely. This is real hard. Acceptable and pleasing. That's what we're supposed to be thinking on. Good report. Speaking auspiciously or favorably, if you will. Speaking favorably. Hallelujah. How many have people who want to come to them in their daily walk and start spilling a whole bunch of garbage on you, you know? Who was it? I don't even remember who it was, and it's not important. But recently I had a person come and tell me all... I know who it was. I got a phone call from somebody. Somebody who's an acquaintance of Bill Frantz and myself. I think I mentioned this before. And while he had some positive things to say, he kept talking about all the negative stuff. Now, it was fine. He was able to vent, and that's a good thing. But the bottom line was, what was really the thing that I was focused on was not the negative. Okay? How many know we need to deal with things we can handle and we can change by prayer? The other things, we just release it to God and let God take care of it. Amen? Let the Holy Spirit deal with it. But one of the things that encouraged me was he was speaking favorably. He was speaking, you know, good things that were things to meditate on. And that is the fact that through his trial, tribulation, whatever you want to call it, he's being drawn closer to God. He's got more of a desire for God. I'm sure we've all heard the saying, when things get tough, the tough get going. Well, the kingdom of God suffers violence and the violent take it by force. It's so easy to get focused on the negatives or the things that, you know, that are wrong. But we need to be focused on the things and keep our mind stayed on things that are pure, lovely, noble, of a good report. Amen? Hallelujah.
Yeah.
So that's what I want to hear. The problem is not important to me. The answer is important to me. Because that's the only thing that's going to make a difference. Amen?
Right.
You can cry all day long. It's not going to do you any good. Remember an old song from an old country singer. Go on and cry me a river. I've seen you do it before. Go on and cry me a river. And, you know, just, well, that does a lot of good. All it really does is get you all wet. Now, when you're crying out to God, that's a different story. But anyway, moving on. If there's anything virtuous or virtue, okay, that simply means a virtuous course of thought, a feeling and action, God's direction in your life telling you exactly what action you need to take. And you can't do that while you're crying in your soup about whatever it is that's going on. How many know what I'm talking about? Did I lose you? Okay. At least let me know you're hearing me. It's a course of thought, a feeling, and an action. Virtue, that's moral goodness. If there's anything praiseworthy, that word is approbation. And I never heard that word before. I saw it this morning when I was looking it up. And that, simply stated, is an act of approving formally or officially. And then the command to think on those things is to calculate, consider, weigh, and mediate. What? The things that are good, pure, lovely, of a good report. Amen? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. To praise Him. When you praise Him, you can't keep anything else in your mind. Amen? When you raise your hands and you surrender, everything goes but to focus on the Lord. Amen? Hallelujah. That is good stuff. Now, if you will, look with me to Philippians 2, verses 1 through 9. The main verse is verse 5. Philippians 2, verses 1 through 9. And verse 5 will be the worst verse we look at. And there's only one word in there that I'm really, really focused on. And we'll talk about that. Praise the Lord. Therefore, if there is any consolation in Christ, if any comfort of love, if any fellowship of the Spirit, if any affection and mercy, fulfill my joy by being like-minded, having the same love, being of one accord, of one mind. Let nothing be done through selfish ambition or conceit, but in lowliness of mind, let each esteem others better than himself. Now that sounds like 1 Corinthians 13, doesn't it? Let each of you look out not only for his own interests, oh my goodness, but also for the interests of others.
Yeah.
Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. And simply stated, according to the concordance, that word mind simply means understanding or opinion. So what he's really saying is, let this understanding or opinion be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God did not consider it robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, taking the form of a bondservant and coming in the likeness of men. And being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient to the point of death, even the death of the cross. Therefore, God also has highly exalted him and given him the name which is above every name. I want to read the rest of this. That at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow, of those in heaven, of those in the earth, and of those under the earth. And that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God. So we need to let the mind that was in Christ, which means the understanding and opinion, where'd that come from? It came from the Father. How'd he get that? How was he able to get a hold of that? Because of the time he spent with the Father. Amen? Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. See, also, this scripture pretty much backs up what we've known for a long time, is the fact that we're not here for ourselves. Amen? How many of you have experienced so far that when you get lost in something for somebody else or God directs you to do something, all of a sudden you see God coming back and taking care of your needs, what it is that you need, speaking to your heart about things that you have, you know, that you need wisdom and direction about. Amen? And that's because you've given your life, as Jesus did, to be a bondservant. Considered himself a bondservant. Serving others. Serving the Lord. It's impossible to serve yourself when you're in serving others and you're serving the Lord. But when God is the one who's ultimately behind you, your reward is great also. Amen? So that's why it's important that we consider others and their interests, the things that affect them, as much or more than we think about the things that affect us or that are our issues. Amen? How many know it's in giving that you receive? Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. I want my understanding and my opinion to be that only of my Father. How about you? Praise the Lord. Turn to Psalm 50, verse 15. Since we're talking a little bit about trouble or things, calamities, things like that, we're not focusing on that, but since we're talking about a little bit, let's just have a look at what Psalm 50, verse 15 says. It says, "Call upon me in the day of trouble. I will deliver you." I think that takes any doubt out of there, doesn't it? "And you shall glorify me." And I think that's pretty much the heart of someone who really knows the Lord. And when they know they've been delivered, they're not focused on, "Oh boy, I'm free." They're focused on, "Thank you, Lord." Amen? If their heart is right before God. Well, in that particular verse, there are just a few things that we need to look at. It says, "Call upon me in the day of trouble." And that word trouble means straits, distress, or trouble. Pretty self-explanatory, isn't it? But that word deliver means to remove, to draw out, to draw off, to equip for war, to arm for war, or to rescue, or to pull out, to tear out, to rescue, to deliver, or set free. So call upon me in the day of straits, distress, and trouble, and I will remove you, I will draw you out, I will draw off the attack, I will equip you for war, give you things, great and mighty things which you don't even know, I will arm you for war, I will rescue you out of that trouble, I will pull you out, I will tear you out, I will deliver you, I will set you free. Hallelujah. That sounds like a plan to me. Glory to God. Psalm 91, verse 15. Psalm 91, verse 15. Here's a promise. My goodness, a tremendous promise. It says, "He shall call upon me, and I will answer him, and I will be with him in trouble, and will deliver him." Now, we've just read twice God's promise to us that we will not remain in trouble. Now, let me just say this. If we do, it's because we chose to, and we put our focus in the wrong place. Our attention in the wrong place. We got caught up in the whatever's happening, rather than realizing where our help comes from. Amen. Yes. Praise the Lord. So he will call upon me, and I will answer him, and I will be with him in trouble. He said he'd never leave us nor forsake us, didn't he? And I will deliver him and honor him. And what that word true means, once again, is the same exact word true as we read before. It's loving the truth, speaking the truth, and truthful. Where am I at? No, I'm sorry. Excuse me. I lost track of my notes here. I apologize. Honor him. Call upon me means to summon, to invite, to call for, to call and commission, to appoint, to be summoned. So, it's what we're reading here. It says to summon, invite him, call for him, commission him, appoint him. In the day of trouble, to be your answer, your shield, and your guide. That's what the Word says he is, amen? And he says, I will answer him. That means, simply stated, I will respond. Amen? So he'll respond when you call on him. That's a promise. Does it sound like there's anything being withheld, or were there any addendums there that said, well, if, or maybe, or if this condition's right? There's nothing there like that, is there? And that word trouble means straits, distress, or trouble. That's the word that we were looking at, trouble. And that word deliver, once again, says to pull out, to tear out, to rescue,
set free.
So when you call on Him in the day of trouble, okay, or you call on Him, you summon Him, you invite Him, you appoint Him, you call for His aid, He'll respond. We have a promise. He'll respond. And that means in any type of trouble, which is any straits, any distress, any trouble of any kind. Once again, nothing hidden. Straight up. And He said, I'll deliver you. I will pull you out. I will tear you out. I will rescue you. I will set you free.
Amen.
Now, what we need to understand is that means everything. You know, we're hearing a lot of things all of a sudden again about, and it seems like there's more and more commercials on television about calling these folks who are going to be able to help you with your IRS distress. Well, 911 is the best help for distress and pain reliever there is. Amen? Psalm 91:1. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Doesn't make any difference. Doesn't make any difference whether you've received a bad report about a loved one or yourself. It's not God's plan. It's not God's will. So what's our response? Our response is to get into line with His will. Amen? And understand without any reservation or hesitation that in that distress, first of all, He's going to answer when you call Him. He's going to pull you out, tear you out, rescue you, set you free, no matter what it is. Amen? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. That's good news. That's good news. That's the gospel. Amen? Hallelujah. He came to set us free, didn't He? Praise the Lord. Came to set us free. And then what did He say? He said, when you've been set free, what? You free indeed. Hallelujah. Free indeed. Hallelujah. Yes, sir. Absolutely.
Well, I don't know how many of you have heard my testimony, but when I was 5 years old, it was Easter Sunday of 1960, and that was my first time I ever went to church. And that day I learned about Jesus Christ, and I accepted Him in my heart that very first day. And 6 weeks later, this was all in God's plan. 6 weeks later, I went into a children's hospital, which was 70 miles from home. My parents just left me there. They didn't say goodbye because they thought it'd be too traumatic. And I didn't see them again until the day before surgery. And that day, they came to say goodbye because the doctors told them I wasn't going to live through this. Well, they took my gurney into the operating room. And here's all these people standing around with masks on their faces and caps on their heads. And I had never seen anybody like that before. And it scared me. And the last thing I saw was this saw blade and a light bulb coming toward my face and the saw blade turning. Now, can you imagine that God would take that awful experience and when I wake up and I can't see very well at all, and give me the peace that passes all understanding? You know, God took me out of my trouble and gave me peace when there was trouble. And all throughout my life, His hand has been working. And only in the last 2 months has that peace come back to me again. You see, here I am, 54. I don't have a job. I don't have a career. I don't have a wife or a family or children. Or grandchildren, but I'm not focused on that anymore. That peace that passes all understanding has come into my life and my heart, and now I'm living a peaceful life, a life for God. And I just have to praise Him, and I just wanted to share this with you, that what Bill is telling you about is true, and I have experienced it.
Praise the Lord. Amen. Praise the Lord. And what's more, the love that He experiences, if you ask Him, surpasses anything He ever imagined. Is that right, Richard?
That's right.
Peace, love, and you know what else? What a lot of us have sought for in our entire lives, acceptance. How many know you're accepted in the Beloved? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Kylie and I were watching the show yesterday, Princess Diaries. We were sitting there just enjoying each other's company and just watching this show. And this is about a girl who, my goodness, I mean, she's far from ugly. But, you know, she's a typical schoolgirl wearing his uniform and everything. And, of course, her grandmother is the queen of Genovia. That was the name of the place. I don't know if there's a real place like that or not. It doesn't make any difference. But the point is, she begins to learn who she really is. And she spent her whole life trying to be invisible up to this point. Invisible. And, of course, there's three young ladies who are the meanest, nastiest critters you ever wanted to see. Ugly in their talk, their thoughts, their actions. I mean, just ugly. How many know just because there's a pleasant cover on something doesn't mean there's some good stuff inside? Anyway, it turns out that through it all, and no matter how ugly they were, finally this girl who's intimidated by everything and everybody, who just wants to be left alone, she was going to run, she was going to abdicate the throne. And that's why her grandmother came into her life at that point. She got a hold of a letter from her dad that encouraged her. A silly old cat came and sat on it. I thought sure that that was going to mean she was not going to see it for a while. Thank God it didn't happen, because that gets me fired up. You know, let's get on with the program here, you know. And it turned out that she began to see because of the love that her dad had, that her grandmother has. And her grandmother told her at one point, grandmother played by Julie Andrews, that you are first and foremost not the princess, you're my granddaughter. And it turned out that she realized the importance of what she had to do. And here she is, she was getting ready to run. And it was raining outside. She had this old Mustang that she really liked. One lot like Bill's, only it was a convertible. I don't think yours is a convertible, is it, Bill? Okay, anyway. And it's raining cats and dogs. All of a sudden, you know, she gets halfway up this hill and the car dies and she can't go anywhere. She's laying there with the roof down, just what am I going to do now? And her driver that her grandmother had given to her, who was also her protector, and he didn't get involved with her life in the ways you might think as far as protecting her physically, but by giving her wisdom and insight and understanding, kind of like a guardian angel, amen? The bottom line is, when it was all said and done, she took her rightful place. She realized who she was, and the fact that it wasn't about her, after reading that letter, remembering the things she was told, even by her friend, her very best friend, the only one who really, really cared about her, and a guy who was pretty much invisible to her, too. She'd go and hang out at the garage where they'd play their music, and she'd dote over this little Mustang that she wanted. Grandmother gave her the money for it. But in the bottom line, through all that, how much has God done for us? How much has He done for us? And how hard is it sometimes for us to see what our response should be to that? Freely you have received, freely give. Gene? Freely you've received, freely give. Amen? So she took her rightful place because she cared more about the people of her country than she did her own wants and desires. That sounds like somebody else we know, huh? Somebody that we wake up every day wanting to know more and more than we know him right now. Amen? Hallelujah. Praise you, Lord. See, that's the way we walk, too. We start out a mess, realizing we need God. He comes on the scene. He cleans us up. Straightens out our thinking. Reveals Himself to us. Amen. And then we start to get an understanding of exactly what we're here for. It's to give back and give away what God has given to us. To touch others' lives. Amen. How exciting is that? Watching God reach out and touch people's lives as truth and reality comes right into focus. You know, this world, whether they act like it or not, they know that they need more than what they've got. And they know that they're not whole. There's something missing. I remember as a small child, I couldn't have told you what it was I felt inside. I had no clue. I did not have any idea at all. But I knew God was real. I didn't know what it was that I felt. I just knew He was out there someplace. There was somebody out there. And where'd that come from? And while it may be manifested in different ways in different people, that's the same thing that's in every human life. I'll bet you there's, in fact, I can tell you, unless somebody has absolutely made the decisions to walk away from God and reject Him, which is between Him and them, not us, then they know the situation. And that's why they seek for things through drugs and alcohol, through entertainment, through false friendships. People who are in the same straits they are, but who give a false air. See, you and I, when we came in, we walked right in to truth. And what did truth do for us? Set us free. Hallelujah. Set us free. And now we are free. Craig, even though it's been a short time, if you count it from the physical time, you've come a long way from when the day you walked in here, haven't you? Hallelujah. You found that friend that sticks closer than a brother. And it's real, isn't it? It's real. He's found happiness he didn't even know existed. He desired it, but he didn't know where to find it. You and I were the same. We didn't know where to find it. I'm reminded of an old song, "Happiness is to know the Savior, living a life within His favor, having a change in my behavior. Happiness is the Lord. Real joy is mine, no matter when teardrops start, because I found the secret. It's Jesus in my heart." Amen. Hallelujah. 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 See, these are not just words on a page. These words have deep-seated meanings. We can call on Him in the time of trouble. He's going to rescue us. He said He would. And He didn't say if you met this requirement or that requirement. How many know He does what He does because of His love? You keep your heart fixed and focused on Him, and He says, there's nothing that I'm going to keep from you. Amen? Nothing. Hallelujah. And there's no way, no matter what happens, that I'm going to walk away from you or leave you stranded in a situation. Not only that, He says, I'll never allow more to come on you than you're able to handle in me. Amen? But that He will what? With that, make or provide a way of escape. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. God's good. Amen? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Sometimes we need to dig to find the buried treasure in the Word of God. Amen? Hallelujah. It's there. We can't just gloss over things lightly and just, you know, listen, you know, take them at face value. Sometimes we've got to dig to find out. Hey, Lord, this is what You said. How many here this morning have got things going on in your lives where you're saying, it's not that you don't believe God's real. It's not that you think He's left you, but you're wondering, okay, God, how come this is not going on in my life? How come this is not happening? And it's not because God's not answering. Maybe you just haven't dug deep enough to really see what He's really telling you you have that belongs to you. Did you hear what I said? Belongs to you. Why? Because He's given it. If He gave His Son willingly, freely, then what in the world would He be trying to withhold from you? What's He trying to withhold from you? Not one thing. Not one thing. See, He takes pleasure in giving us the kingdom. What does that mean? That means the anointing, the wisdom, the victory, the ability to operate in any situation and come out on the other side unscathed. Seeing victory, seeing the accomplishment of what we've set our heart to, especially when we're doing it for somebody else. See, just like when you give in the time of your need, as God commands, no matter what it is. I remember another song that said, and the Word specifically says this, even if you give just a cup of cold water to somebody, that's all God requires of you. Amen? Praise You, Lord. Praise You, Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Get ready, folks.
people who have set their affections on things in this earth rather than things on above, as we've been commanded, are beginning to become very, very unstable, very uneasy. We've got the answer, amen? We know the answer. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. It's a great day to be alive. Hallelujah. Great day to be alive. Hallelujah. Praise you, Lord. We give you praise, Lord. We give you praise and honor and glory. Seal your word in our hearts, Lord. I thank you for stirring the hearts of the people here today. That includes me. Reminding us once again of the great salvation that you provided for us. Thank you, Lord. Now, Lord, we ask that as we continue on, that you would continue to be pleased with this part of our service, Lord. And right now, in advance, we pray that you sanctify the food. We sanctify the food by your word in this prayer. Bless our fellowship, Lord. More than anything, we desire fellowship with you, Lord. More than anything. Hallelujah. You're the one who has, who is, and who brings fullness of life. Because you are fullness of life. Thank you for this day, Lord. Hallelujah.
Are you blessed this morning? I'm definitely blessed. And I want to share this because he brought it to my mind. In the mid-80s, I was in a terrible marriage. And a voice came to me and it told me what to do. And we're all rather suspicious and we think, boy, am I crazy. I'm hearing voices now. There's no one here. But I paid attention to that voice. And the Lord delivered me out of certain death. And if you've never stared in the eyes of somebody who wants to murder you, you have no idea what that's like. There was a depth of hatred I'd never seen in another human being before. I walked out of that with a peace that I had never known before. And I remember sitting in a chair, and I just kept saying, what am I supposed to do now? And I felt like someone picked me up, held me in his lap. I could hear a heartbeat. And my heart began to beat with that beat. And I felt at such peace. I have no idea how long I sat there. But it was the first and only time that I had ever felt loved, comforted, and completely taken care of. And I just kept searching and searching. And finally, I stopped searching long enough that God found me. And I'll tell you what, I would never go back for a billion, zillion, quadrillion dollars, if there is such a thing. So, if you haven't quite found him yet, keep searching, because he will be found. Announcements, there's some green tomatoes back there. Yum, yum, I've already got my four. And Karen brought some stuff from the food bank. It's like little odds and ends, some strange-looking things, but who knows. Home fellowship is going to be at Harry's house. Wonderful. Thank you, Harry and Marie. We love it there. Ladies' fellowship is going to be Saturday, October 18th. We will have probably give you directions before too long. Any other important announcements that we've got to make? No? All right. Fran and Bob seem to be moving right along in the moving into their house, and I know it's just going to be beautiful. They seem to be enjoying it greatly. You already have your cash giving envelope, so Bill, if you'll come forward. Praise the Lord. Heavenly Father, it is nothing but pure joy to be in your presence. Everything that we have is not near enough to give to you, Lord. But what we have, we give to you openly, freely, not because we have to, Lord, but because we want to. So I pray, Lord, that you would bless these tithes and these offerings that we present to you now today. In Jesus' name, amen.